Hail cheaters, and welcome to a new episode of the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
That's an interesting question you ask me. How do I feel, Josh?
I just said, how are you? I didn't ask how you feel.
Well, I'm going to take it to the next step then, because I'm just going to imagine that you asked me how I feel, because... You know, I've gone through a series of emotions leading up to this podcast, and I think a lot of our listeners can relate. I have been very angry the last week or so.
Uh-huh.
I mean, since
you're an angry person, so this isn't out of the ordinary.
No, it's not out of the clear blue sky. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm like described. I'm a self-described Hulkamaniac, and I do like to. Like to break things, but I went from
you were happy when that legal case came through last week. You were pretty happy about that, right?
I was
the Hulk Gawker legal case.
Yeah, my Hulkamaniac message board was lighting up like nothing else. So I moved on from anger to depression, and after the Crystal Palace Everton game, which happened just hours before we're now recording this podcast, went to a dark place, very dark place. And what I'm hoping that we accomplish here in this episode, Josh, is that we come out the other side, that we come out invigorated. I want to feel recharged and better about my really crummy team.
I agree, because if you go on to if anywhere where there's fantasy Premier League chatter going on right now, you know, Fantasy Football Scout, Transfer Hub, Twitter. You've heard about this Twitter site, right, Brandon?
Yeah,
a lot of fantasy transfer talk on there.
I had my grandson set up an account for me.
Oh, good. So, yeah, Twitter and elsewhere, everyone is just like very, very upset right now about this is an interesting week because
can we call it Blank Kaku Gate?
We could call it that. That sounds like a bird, actually. It sounds like a bird of paradise in Malaysia or something.
All right, we'll work on it.
Yeah. But this is a week where many, many managers wildcarded. Probably, you know, of the manager, like, you know, sort of active managers, a huge number. You know, unfortunately, I don't have the number in front of me. But, you know, a significant number of managers, certainly a lot of managers who longtime managers take the game very seriously, who have been sort of strategizing, getting ready for the big game week 34 wildcarded this week. And, you know, as happens when you wildcard, you end up parting with a lot of players, a lot of great players that you've had for a long time. Yeah. So someone like Toby Alderweireld, he's gone. You know, somebody like...
Bye-bye, Toby.
Yeah. Riyad Mahrez, Jamie Vardy, Harry Kane in a lot of cases. You know, just a significant number, anyone on Chelsea, you know, just a significant number of players that you've picked up over the last, you know, 20 odd game weeks. For me, I had like so much dead weight that I was getting rid of. And I had Jack Butland on my roster. I had Russell Martin on there forever. You know, it was just this great, like, mess.
He gave you, George R.R. Russell Martin gave you a few parting gifts before he left, though. A couple of clean sheets.
Yeah, he did, actually.
Which are about as rare as that bird, Blank Kaku Gate.
He still may have more goals than clean sheets this year. So
what a player.
So the problem was many of the players. So it's like the laundry list of players who performed well this week. The laundry list of players performed well. And the laundry list of like most drop players are like it's like one and one.
Yeah.
Jamie Vardy, Toby and Gylfi Sigurdsson. You know,
Dele Alli is in that.
Dele Alli
with Gylfi too.
Players with huge, huge ownership, you know, were dropped, and then they did really well. And of course, if you aren't taking the game super seriously, or if you're just taking it somewhat seriously, or maybe you didn't know that you can't wild card and play a triple captain the same week, any number of reasons.
Yeah.
That you played your wild card, you know, 10 weeks ago. I'm kind of feeling like now I should have. You know, well, what happened then is that all of these players performed, and this double game week advantage was kind of lost in some ways because you're already not going to get those points back.
No, you know? Like, you can't get them back. And then on top of that, can you even get the players back? I mean, we're sort of being forced to go back on our hands and knees to beg the Toby Alderweirelds of the world to come back to our team.
If you drop Riyad Mahrez, there's no getting him back. I mean, you know, not. I mean, you might have lost a million in value. you know, his price has risen so high. I think he started the season at 5.5 and he's like something like 7.5 now, something like that.
So we're struggling with that emotion of we thought we left an ugly girl behind for the next beautiful girl, and here we are now.
Yeah,
reflecting on how good we had it, but we didn't have it all that bad this week. You especially, Josh, you had a pretty decent week, all things considered.
Now, that's true. I'm playing the role of the sympathetic person, but I actually had quite a good game week. I had 82 points. As we're recording this podcast, they haven't updated the overall points yet, but I'm certainly in for a green arrow, I would expect. And Joel Robles is the one who really came. So two things happened. One is I went back and forth on David De Gea and Joel Robles, and ultimately decided that Robles at 1.5 million cheaper was just a better option because, you know, just opened up all this team. And for someone who has very little team value like I do,
right?
Because my team has been such garbage all year, it was like having that 1.5 million was super super crucial. And then Robles comes through today with so just take another, like, I'll take one more step back here.
Back it up, Josh.
I planned the hell out of my wild card. I mean, it was a tricky wild card for me because I had to do two things. One is I had to decide, first of all, are you going to wild card? Are you going to do the bench boost or the triple captain in game week 34? So right. I decide I'm doing, by the way, this is a podcast. Like, if you're just new to the fantasy game, or like you think this is more soccer than fantasy, like, you are out. All right. This is so.
Yeah. If you're here because George Qureshi on Howler's Dummy podcast told you to come visit us, we're sorry. We're very sorry.
It's better in the first half of the season. You know, it's a little more general interest. So I decide I'm going triple captain in game week 34. I'm not going to reveal yet, although we should talk through that later, who I'm going to triple captain. But because I was doing that, I didn't need a team full of double game week players. You know, I just needed somewhere between like 10 and 11. And the other move that I was really happy with, and this is I wanted to build a team that was strong enough and that I wouldn't have to burn any points in game week 35. You know, a number of teams aren't playing.
Yeah.
I also wanted at least a few differentials, just players who I wasn't really hearing anybody else talk about on the forums. And so, you know, one of them was Simone Mignolet, who is a bit of a risk because Liverpool don't tend to keep a lot of clean sheets. But, you know, their two home fixtures are excellent in game week 34. They're away to Bournemouth and home to Everton, and certainly could keep clean sheets in both those matches.
Yeah, I don't think Everton got the ball beyond the midfield line today against Crystal Palace. So I think that pick is looking pretty good.
Ross Barkley did hit every piece of the corner of the netting. But other than that. But the other move was actually the last move I made. We had dinner with some friends on Friday night, and I drank quite a lot. And I just haven't been drinking that much. So it's like, you know, it's that kind of thing where
when, what are we when, talking when like? Gatorade, lemon lime seltzer water?
Yeah, just a lot of water. So I just
was very hydrated.
Water. No, but it was just, you know, it was one of those nights where like you're having fun and you start digging around on top of your fridge to find old bottles of liquor because you just don't want the night to end. You know, you're pulling out like, you know, an eighth of a fifth. You're like, oh, yeah, we can drink this.
Well, we have a word for that, Josh, and that's tutty, right?
The tutty, yeah. Totally unnecessary drink, which is usually the best drink of the night.
Absolutely.
So that, you know, night ends. My wife falls asleep. I, of course, get to the serious business of making sure that I'm happy with all the moves on my fantasy team. And so I make one last move right before I go to bed, which is that I was planning on keeping Harry Kane, and I decided that Jamie Vardy was the player that I wanted to bring in. So I actually dropped Vardy already. So I actually lost a little money.
This is such a story, Josh. This is quite a tale you're spinning out of you keeping Jamie Vardy.
You think I'm making this up? This is a true story.
You're unfurling it in such dramatic fashion.
Well, it was an 11-point swing. That is a, I'm sorry. 11 points is a lot for me. Maybe for you, 11 points is nothing. That's just,
you want 11 points? I'll give you 11 points. I'll give you 11 points. I don't care. Doesn't mean anything to me.
So I decided to bring in Vardy. I thought it was a really nice differential pick. Only differential in a sense. I mean, obviously his ownership is like, He's at 50% ownership. So he's only differential in the very small micro world of fantasy nerds that talk to each other on Twitter and Facebook and whatever.
But it's an obvious drop because he'd gone completely cold, hadn't scored in how many games. And yep, that's a slot that could have easily be filled. A lot of people probably already filled it, like me, with Lukaku.
Right, and which is the move I'd made earlier in the week. But my feeling was just that that Sunderland don't keep any clean sheets. That I don't like. They're not a very intelligent defense, and you know, a defense it's just a defense he could beat with his pace, and so that worked out really well. So yeah, 82 points in the end. Robles and Vardy were really the keys.
Outstanding. It sounds like you're pretty well set up then for week 35. Because for me, I sort of I wanted it both ways.
How many points did you finish with?
I finished with 65 points, and I have a lot of regrets with my wild card because I think I sort of went for some sort of middle ground, and I'm not entirely set up for bench boost. I'm marginally set up for – I mean, you would be set up for triple captain regardless because somebody – you probably brought in some heavy hitter like an Alexis Sanchez or you held on to Aguero. So a triple captain in 34 is always on the cards.
Roberto Firmino.
Firmino. Okay, yeah, I guess we'll get to that. You're already chomping at the bit for the triple cap discussion. But I'm kind of screwed for game week 35 because I currently have, I think, 8 players that I can field. And my two main defensive transfers that I wildcarded have blown up in my face over the course of game week 33. First was Phil Jagielka, who blew his hamstring. He twanged it. Yeah,
like in the 89th minute or something like that. It was like right at the end of the match.
Just absolutely horrifying. So that nullifies his double game week this week, and then it nullifies his double game week next week because he's not slated to get back until the Liverpool match, which who knows if he's even going to be able to start that. And Funes Mori, he's got a lot of minutes under his belt in the league, and I don't think they'd have any reservations about starting him in a game like that.
Yeah.
I mean, a few reservations we could talk about, but not a lot. And then, of course, there's Darmian. So this is a roll of the dice to begin with, because Louis Van Gaal's defensive
rotation. I thought about Darmian. I won't pretend that I didn't think about Darmian, too. Marcus Rojo, I thought about him as well.
So I feel like in the span of half a day, everyone went from Darmian's nail to, well, because Rojo got yanked at halftime the previous match, to, well, Rojo is definitely just fatigued, and he's nailed when he's fit. And I ended up going with Darmian. I will say this for the record, and this is hindsight 2020, but I did give Fosu Mensah a brief thought because I thought he looked fantastic, that half that he did come on as a sub for Rojo.
Problem is, you know, he played on Sunday, he plays Wednesday. I mean, is he going to play on Saturday? Is he going to play? You know, it's like there's no – outside of Chris Smalling and David De Gea, you cannot – like you couldn't bet money on any of the other defenders to start because you just never know.
And we were talking about this on GChat about how ludicrously expensive Chris Smalling is for what a like ordinary defender he is.
And yeah, you've got to be a little worried about Darmian, right? Because it's a nil-nil game. They sub off Fosu Mensah. Did I say his name right?
Fosu Mensah.
Fosu Mensah, and then they bring on Darmian and they concede 3 goals and lose 3-0.
And
it's not a ringing endorsement.
And all 3 goals came from Darmian's side, and he was left looking on. I mean,
it was 3 own goals, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was like a rogue FIFA online pro player who just took control of the game and decided to ruin everyone's fun.
That happens. Have you been in a game where that happened?
Oh, it happens all the time, man. It happens all the time. That's why you need to get set up with a proper online club so you don't have to deal with the drop-in matches. That's my advice to you, Josh, if you ever pick up FIFA.
What happens? You just quit the game? Like, there's no other recourse, I guess, right? Can you knock them off? Can you file a complaint or something?
If you're lucky enough to be the captain in that particular drop-in match, you could conceivably sub the guy out of the game. But yeah, it just happens more time than it's worth discussing. And there's just a bunch of 10-year-olds out there who just got the game for the first time and they're killing 15 minutes. I wish them the best of luck. Wonderful kids. But yeah, it was a performance by Darmian that it's like a season ending performance by him. He, he destroyed that game for United, and I would fear he doesn't see many more minutes the rest of the season. But again, the rotation is a complete mystery. So anyway, I mean, the only bright spot I had this week was Wayne Hennessy, which we were talking before we started recording the pod. Every time I've started him this season, I've had him for quite a long time now. He has lost a clean sheet in real desperate form. But I got 18 points from him, and that ultimately.
It's huge. You know, at least it keeps you even, right? Keeps you like, you may get like a little red arrow, but it wouldn't be a big one, I wouldn't think.
The most ludicrous points I got were from a little bit of a, just filling up my bench, Simon Francis for Bournemouth at 4.1 million. I brought him in just to fill up my bench, and I started him over Darmian, and he got an assist, almost on for a clean sheet.
I know you always assume the most ill intentions for me, but I when I texted you on Saturday morning, I did mean it when I said, "Ooh, nice pick."
Oh, speaking nice of, pick okay, of Francis. I want a truthful response from you, Josh. So anyone who's in a head-to-head competition can relate to this, or anyone who's we've also been talking about the game of the board game of diplomacy recently,
and even though I just say. Even though I just sent you a picture of the other game we're playing on Saturday.
Risk, the game of global domination. I can't wait. So you emailed me, I think it was Friday afternoon, you emailed me how many Crystal Palace and Everton are you getting? Or was it how many Crystal Palace? And then you followed that up by saying, who do you have from Crystal Palace and Everton? Do you remember this?
Yeah, I think I meant it. You always assume that I'm playing some kind of game with you, and
you are. You're playing a game right now. I'm sure you are. This whole podcast has been an elaborate long con.
I was like, how many head to head game weeks can I get down on Brandon before I do a late charge and sweep the last two
after
weeks.
This week? We're head to head. I have 19 and you have 14, so it's an automatic push for me. But you've won 4 out of the last 5 head to heads, and I am just convinced that I'm not going to win another one. And it's going to be like when Liverpool. It's going to be the Gerrard slip for me.
Well, week 35 is going to be a tough one for you if you only have 8 players. 34 is your chance. So, yeah, who's your triple captain in 34?
Here's when I make an aside to the always cheating listeners, and Josh can't hear, when I say I'm actually fielding a very strong team for game week 35. I can't believe I duped him into that. It's all mine. It's all mine to lose.
All right,
Josh, who am I going to triple captain? I'm not sure. Probably Simon Francis.
I think I know who I'm going to triple captain, and I will answer truthfully if you answer truthfully.
Sure. Okay.
No games?
No games. Actually, I don't know. I told myself I wouldn't do this again.
All right, fine. All right, we won't do it then. Maybe, we'll reveal.
Maybe later. Not right
now. Okay, maybe. All right, yeah, we'll see. I know you're a little you're feeling the effects of a tough game week right now, so I won't push you.
We still have another hour and a half of this podcast to go, so I'm sure it'll slip out at some point. All right, so those are our personal game weeks, right?
Let's get right into it. Yeah, exactly. A brief 47 minutes later.
Can we just take a quick second? I mean, we joked about it, but we got a bunch of new listeners to the podcast last week, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't take a moment to welcome all of our new listeners who are joining the Always Cheating community of brilliant and noble fantasy managers.
Do you want to welcome them individually or just?
We're just going to roll a stream of credits at the spoken word credits at the end of the podcast. So if you were new to the pod last week, stay tuned. I will read your name out loud.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. Like Romper Room, we'll have like our magnifying glass out. All right, so we've done our recap. Let's get into game week 33. We can't really talk about the Hail Cheaters Super League. Because points are updated. A lot of subs came. A lot of players didn't play or only got. Oh yeah, so like the Kevin De Bruyne thing was you didn't even talk about that.
Yeah.
So that was pretty.
The two sort of attacking punts were Kevin De Bruyne and Anthony Martial. So Martial, I'm less concerned with because he looks nailed on, and United have
defense.
Lots of great fixtures coming up. De Bruyne was frustrating because that's a heavy hitter transfer right there. And if you have a heavy hitter during leading into a major, probably the biggest game week of the season, and he's coming off of 1 point. Now, I mean, it just rubs salt on the wound that he scores two goals prior to this game, Champions League and league match, and now he's scored a brilliant goal against PSG again. So,
he'd be an interesting triple captain option, but now you have this concern about whether he's going to start, you know, the 2 game weeks in 5 days or whatever.
Yeah, to work yourself up to a gamble like that for game week 34 after sort of the depression that was game week 33, it's going to be tough for me. But I wouldn't discount it.
All right. So, well, anyway, it was a strange game week, though, in general. There was Coutinho didn't start either. I got really lucky. Sakho didn't start, and so I ended up picking up 8 points from Danny Simpson off the bench. A very kind of a strange game week overall. So we're not going to talk about the Hail Cheetah Super League yet because the scores aren't updated and they're kind of all over the place and subs haven't been made. So we'll post those on Twitter and Facebook tomorrow once it's all been updated, or maybe later tonight if it gets
up. Absolutely. Follow us at Hail Cheaters or Facebook. It's always cheating. So, yeah, you'll post the table there. Awesome. You'll all get your proper shout outs.
Let's get right. Okay, so Brandon, we have a slightly different. I hate doing this because I actually hate podcasts that change the format all the time. But it's such a crazy stretch right now with all of these double game weeks. So we talked about double game weeks last time, and I feel like we need to mix it up a little bit because the last podcast was so serious. You know, we had so much content. So this time around, we're going to talk about Twitter gripes. We're going to analyze key questions from game week 33, and then we're going to stop talking. In the podcast.
And then I'm going to go to bed.
So Twitter gripes, key questions for game week 33, and then we're out. So let's get right into it.
Okay, let's go for it.
First Twitter gripe comes from Sarah. These are not gripes about the Twitter itself. I could fill a whole podcast just complaining about Twitter and all the various things I hate on Twitter. We should do that. Like, the end of the season should just be us talking about how much we hate Twitter for an hour.
Nor are these gripes just about life in general. Like why are there not enough chips in this bag of chips? They're actual gripes about Fantasy Premier League. Do I have that right?
Wait, how many chips do you need? You get three plus the two wild cards.
No, you get the bag of crisps for our friends across the pond. The bag is mostly filled with air, and you've got a couple.
It's funny you say that because I just recently bought a 50-cent bag of Doritos, and I was amazed by how few chips were in there. It's like seven Doritos.
That's a Twitter gripe. Add it to the list.
It is. All right. First Twitter gripe comes from our friend Siraj Garish.
Hey, Siraj.
And he says, hey, Josh and Brandon, any tips on staying calm after being completely screwed over by Lukaku? Well, okay. Here's the thing. If you weren't going to captain Lukaku, who were you going to captain? Let's say that you were going to wild card regardless, right? So if you wild card, there was a pretty good chance you were going to get rid of Vardy anyway. So the player that most people would have captained, I would think, let's say there's maybe two different players you might have captained. You might have captained Alexis Sanchez. You might have captained Sergio Aguero.
Sure.
Maybe you would have captained Harry Kane. That certainly would have been reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely. Man's in scorching hot form.
Yeah. If there were no double game weeks, none of us would have been captaining Lukaku given his recent form. But if Lukaku did end up picking up, I mean, the thing about the double game week is it's hard to get totally screwed. You know, he did pick up 4 points, which isn't awesome. But if you still have Aguero in your team, he picked up 9. It cost you 5 points. Yeah. It's not terrible.
Lukaku was 1 point away from the famous always cheating Giroud.
Yeah,
is, he almost as we all know, a 5 point score.
Exactly. He was 1 point away from Giroud. If you picked up Alexis, I think Sanchez only ended up with 7 points in the end. So, you know, you lost 3 points there. Harry Kane, you would have lost points on. Kind of across the board, there were a lot of, it wouldn't necessarily have worked out that well, you know, if you didn't have Lukaku. And the other side of it is that so many managers captain Lukaku for this double game week that we're all kind of in the same boat together. It's not like, you could have captained Lukaku or Ross Barkley or something like that, you know.
Absolutely. That takes all the sting out of it for me, knowing that everybody else brought in Captain Lukaku. So why even sweat it? For me, the more depressing thing about it is knowing that we all have to play Lukaku for another double game week in game week
possibly
34,
two,
and just suffer this insufferable Everton team again. And
I know.
We were talking about this the other day about how disinterested Lukaku gets, and I mean, if he's not even disinterested, he's just completely disconnected from the rest of the attacking play on that team right now.
Yeah, and we don't mean disinterested like a judge. We mean disinterested like he's not, he's just not engaged with the game.
Like a sullen teenager, basically.
Yeah, exactly. We're not talking about Oliver Wendell Holmes here.
It's like he didn't get into the college of his choice, and then he's just sitting in the back of the classroom with his.
That's actually a pretty apt comparison, because I think that's how he's feeling right now. He's like, I am a 23-year-old. You know, 6'1", whatever he is, like goal scoring machine. And I'm on a team that completely sucks and I don't care anymore. And he's basically already said he's going to leave in the summer. And he's
so
checked out.
Where does he go? Does Lukaku stay in the Premier League?
Yeah.
Or does,
you can see him at like PSG. Like if Zlatan leaves, which it sounds like he might, you could see him going to Italy possibly.
Yeah, I see Italy before PSG. PSG seems like of that Real Madrid mold where they tend to sign marquee players that sell jerseys, and Lukaku quite isn't there yet. But yeah,
he's not going to Barcelona. He's not going to Bayern. He's not going to. I mean, you could see Arsenal picking him up,
maybe.
Yeah, well, maybe Wolfsburg,
but
Borussia Mönchengladbach perhaps.
That Everton team is going to be torn apart over the summer, right?
I mean, yeah, it probably will be. There's a lot of talk about Ross Barkley going to Man U as well.
Oh,
it probably has to be. There's something wrong with the heart of that team. They should be better than they are. I don't know. There's, you know, like that defense is actually pretty solid, and I don't totally understand. I guess that's something to do with. I mean, even McCarthy is. I don't know. There's something about the way that team. I guess they need a stronger defensive midfielder or something to shore things up.
I don't know. Gareth Barry has played some excellent games for them. Are they just reverting to the Roberto Martinez mean? Where Wigan
still have. I mean, Leighton Baines, Seamus Coleman, Funes Mori, and Jake Jelka when he's healthy, or John Stones for that matter. Those are very good defenders. Yeah. I mean, not even just from a fantasy perspective, but just good defenders.
Yeah,
and that should be clicking better than it is. And yeah, I think you do have to blame Martinez.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that, like, basically almost the exact same version of this team almost made the Champions League last year, and now they're in like 13th place and can't score.
Right.
You know, it's bizarre.
Okay, so basically, tips to stay calm for getting screwed by Lukaku is just think about how you're getting screwed by the entire Everton team.
Right. Exactly.
Is that our message to Siraj?
Spread the hate around a little bit.
There you go.
Kofi, also on Twitter. Says, will the real Lukaku please stand up? Now, I assume he's making a I'm Slim Shady reference.
Eminem, right? Detroit native Eminem.
Detroit native Eminem.
Now, Slim Shady rolls off the tongue a little better than Lukaku. Let's see, like, I'm Lukaku, will the real Lukaku please stand up? Is that how that song goes?
Yeah, I'm Slim Shady. I'm the real Slim Shady. All the other Slim Shadys are just imitators, right? Something like that.
Yeah, find and replace with Lukaku, podcast. And you see if that song is a hit. If we do a find replace with Lukaku for Slim Shady.
Yeah, I think we saw. Okay, so this is kind of like you know, I was thinking about Man United earlier today, and you know they lose 3-0 to Spurs, and they. You know, and they win, you know, 2-1 against West Ham in the FA Cup. And you're like, well, how can this be? How can they be so good one day and so bad the next? And yeah, the answer is that they're mediocre. You know, it's just like that's what a mediocre team does.
Yeah.
You know, they win a fair amount and they lose a fair amount. And, you know, I think that Lukaku is like he's not mediocre. I mean, on the course of the season, he has, you know, 20, almost 20 goals, maybe just shy of 20 goals, 18, 19, something like that. Probably more than 20 when you include all competitions. And they're still in the FA Cup semifinal for that matter. But he's just not a consistent, he's not great striker.
Yeah,
right. He's a near great striker.
And we may be asking a bit too much. These were two away fixtures. I mean, granted, it's Watford and Crystal Palace. They're not the staunchest of, they're not the hardest of opponents. But there are two away fixtures, and you can't expect a guy to just light up with a brace within the span of 5 days.
He used to track back more, though. I feel like there were a few moments in this Crystal Palace game where he felt like he was combining with Barkley a little bit. Actually, almost there were two different times. One where he laid out for Barkley, Barkley went off the post. The other time when Barkley fed. Lukaku really should have scored in the first half. You're like, that was Everton, you know, in the first half of the season. Yeah. Those guys were really picking up well. And then you had De La Feo adding some creativity before it became like a fucking step over clinic with him every time he had the ball. He was absolutely ridiculous in the game on Saturday, the Watford game.
Yeah.
It was insane. I mean, he was over the ball so much. He's got to pass it.
I couldn't watch the game after like the first 30 minutes. I think it was pretty clear after 30 minutes that it was going to be Blinkaku gate. They've become a little predictable now in the latter part of the season. It's either down the wings for a cross or they hoof the ball up the middle. And Lukaku's hold-up play, he's not tracking back. And also I think his hold-up is not as good. He's not as comfortable trapping the ball and bringing it down and bringing people into the attack.
And is it that he's not comfortable, that he just doesn't care?
It could be.
That he's just not, yeah.
Hey, if you're trying to broker a move to Benfica, wouldn't you think you'd try a little harder?
Yeah, I mean, if you're trying to get to Real Zaragoza, you gotta try a little bit harder. Come on, Rom, you can do better than that. All right, Nachi Vardy, it's a good name. I like that name.
Any relation?
On Twitter. Yep. It's actually Jamie Vardy. It's a pseudonym.
He didn't do much to hide it, did he?
That's true. That's actually, it's interesting. Like, I don't know if you saw someone posted, that Stoke City have there's a mini Stoke City league of like real players. And, Jack Butland is currently the overall points leader in that league.
Oh, and they're doing fantasy, you mean?
Yeah. They have their own fantasy league. Yeah.
Huh. How about that? How do you like that?
Yeah.
I wonder if Jack Butland listens to Always Cheating. Actually, I've got it. Nachi Vardy is actually Jack Butland.
Wow. My mind is blown. He says, I thought Man United's Rashford, Marshall, and De Gea could win, so I benched Ali and Alderweireld.
He's got a little frowny face there, I think.
A little frowny here. Face there, too. Yeah, that's a tough one. De Gea seems reasonable, to me.
Classic save keeper as well. So save points are probably locked, even if the clean sheet isn't kept.
I mean, you saw it in the West Ham game this afternoon. I certainly wouldn't have been surprised if that game was 0-0. I could have, I mean, it was 0-0 until what, the 67th minute.
Yeah. Until our good friend Matteo Darmian stepped on the pitch.
Ali hadn't really done anything recently. I don't really understand benching Alderweireld because he's just so dangerous as an attacker.
I think maybe the conventional thinking was that United was good for a goal. I mean, he's mentioning here Rashford and Martial. And by the way, Josh, the appropriate pronunciation is Martial. Okay. You've been to Paris.
Did you see Rashford's goal against West Ham this afternoon?
I did. It was outstanding. It was
a great goal.
That guy, that's ridiculous. Like, he just came out of nowhere. I mean, I guess you have to.
You see that there's something bubbling up in this Man U team. I don't think it's going to happen under Van Gaal, but you see, you know, Rashford and Martial is like, 19, yeah, right?
And Lingard, another young talent.
Lingard. De Gea is only 23 or 24. Although, is he going to leave at the end of the season?
Presumably, he's going to Madrid.
I get it. The 6 weeks left, you got to take some risks. Didn't work out for you, Nachi, but, you know, I think you're set up.
Yeah, I would keep the faith. Game week 34, that's two very bankable clean sheets for United. They're playing my favorite clean sheet bankable team, Aston Villa. And then they have Crystal Palace, who, my God, just watching them against Everton up one man, they did everything in their power to not score. It was incredible.
Yeah, my favorite Yeah, my favorite player that I didn't bring in during my wild card was David De Gea, because I think there's a pretty good chance they'll have two clean sheets, but I just couldn't make it work.
Couldn't find the cash. All right, do we have any other Twitter gripes, Josh?
Last gripe, and I asked for some bad beat stories. That was not you shared a bad beat story. And Jordy Wilson says, my rival had a defense of Joel Ward, Alberto Moreno. And by the way, that was 18 points for Ward, 12 points for Moreno, Toby Alderweireld, 15 points, and Wes Morgan, 6 points. He says, I wildcarded and got 30 points fewer than my previous team. That is the Alderweireld one was the worst. That because it hurt the team, my team value so much. You know, not my team value, but it hurt my overall rank. Because he's such a wildly owned player, and just any time a player with that level of ownership gets 15 points and you don't have him, it's just a killer.
Yeah, and Alderweireld is a player that you can look at that sort of typifies the anguish that the wild carders this week felt. Toby is a nailed-on guy for every – he's a template player, but then no double game week for Spurs, so everyone drops Toby, and there he is with
pretty expensive.
Points. Yeah, you're not going to get him back, and there he is with 15, and that just adds to the depression that we're here to squash. We're here to make everyone feel better about that. So – yeah. How do we make ourselves feel better about not having Toby on our team anymore?
I think we got to leave week 33 in the dust. Yeah. But okay, so that's enough gripes right now. Let's get into the key questions from game week 33. You know, so we're going right back into the muck, Brandon, right back into the muck and mire. We're going to use it to plan for game weeks 34 and beyond.
Okay.
All right. So why don't you start this one?
Well, let's see if I can possibly be any help. So I guess what we're going to talk about is, in terms of key issues from game week 33, is all looking forward to game week 34. And I think Ben Dorr on Twitter, who at Ben Dorr 39, he put it best. Who are the most important players to have in the coming weeks? And I think that's how we're going to try and frame these key issues from game week 33. So we've got bullets here for all the teams, and let's start with the teams that don't have double game weeks, and that's Leicester and Spurs. Yeah. Okay. So everybody to some extent got rid of or shed players from Leicester City and Tottenham with their wild card. And were they worth giving up? Was it a mistake? And are there any players from Spurs or Leicester going into game week 34 and beyond that we need to target to get back into our squads? Basically, are there any must-haves at this point?
Yeah, it's an interesting issue for me right now, because I had the idea was to bring Jamie Vardy back in for the Sunderland match. The idea was actually it was going to be a one-week punt. And once that was over, I was going to bring in a striker for the double game weeks. But now, I mean, he scored 2 goals. He's probably confident again. They're home against a West Ham team that can't keep a clean sheet. Who am I bringing in that's that much better than Jamie Vardy, who also has a fixture in game week 35?
Yeah.
You know, if it was just a one-off, that would be one thing. But there's a good chance he could score like 13 points in this game week as well, especially because he's on pens.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the only other person you'd replace him with would be a Liverpool striker, I guess. And Daniel Sturridge is much more expensive than Jamie Vardy and equal to arguably lesser value.
I'm tripled up on Arsenal and Liverpool already, so I couldn't even bring in either of those two teams. So I'm looking at, you know, which is probably a problem that a lot of people have. You know, so you're looking at Mitrovic, who is a player that I've never been that excited about. I thought the Mitrovic thing was a little overblown to begin with. I mean, the guy doesn't even start every match.
Yeah, as with everything with Newcastle, the Wijnaldum thing just hasn't borne out over the course of the season for however much promise he showed. There's of course, my gambit with Jonjo Shelvey versus Andre Ayew hasn't panned out since he moved to Newcastle.
Yeah.
It's just never a team to stake anything on. So what? Okay, yeah. Ella, let me pose a question to you, Josh. What if somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, I dumped Vardy for my wild card team. I'm going into game week 34, and I'm considering getting rid of Lukaku for Jamie Vardy."
I would not do that. Lukaku was too good of a striker, and I don't know. I just feel like
Lukaku is coming up in game week 34. He has a double, where Vardy does not.
Right, right. Vardy, home to West Ham.
Home to West Ham. So that's
There has to be a better move you can make on your team than dropping Lukaku for Jamie Vardy. Like, you know, whether you're bench boosting or whether you're just looking to make a different transfer, I feel like that is not a move I would be making. Like, yeah. It's easy to knee jerk after Lukaku blanks two in a row.
Right.
But I don't think he's going to blank four matches in a row.
that would be truly astounding.
It would be astounding. It would be very surprising if that happened.
Yeah, a nice budget fit there, though, if you're looking to scrap Lukaku for another double game week player, is Anthony Martial, who is cheaper than Lukaku at this point. But, of course, that's another blank for game week 35.
So Martial is the player that I would at least think about bringing in.
Yeah.
Mostly because that Aston Villa fixture is so tempting.
Right.
I mean, the Aston Villa team is effectively relegated. I think a couple of teams have to score 1 point basically, and then they're effectively relegated. So it's Aston Villa and Crystal Palace at home. The problem is this Man United team has a unique ability to be the least enjoyable team to watch in the Premier League. You know, they will always find a way to make you miserable. Watching this team can be so frustrating at times because there are all these interesting players. I mean, we talked about them earlier, you know, like especially the young players, but even players who, you know, like Juan Mata and Wayne Rooney, who I've enjoyed over the years, are...
Oh, you've enjoyed
rendered. Them. I've enjoyed them. Yes, I've watched with pleasure. I watched them move with pleasure. you know, even they just that I don't know. It's stultifying watching them play.
Yeah, it's true, but it's hard to figure out exactly what that team is about right now, and it's a grab bag which team shows up week to week. And I don't know, last week I was talking about the triple captain on Martial because these two home fixtures in game week 34 are so appealing.
Speaking of triple captains, I think you have an apology to make, Brandon, our friend Gear Mel.
Oh, Gear Mel. Oh, man. Gear, if you're even listening to this podcast, which maybe you're not after what we did to you. Do I have to take credit for this?
Let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Okay, Gear Meld, I need you to get in touch with us, whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or through our email on alwayscheating.com. Let me know if the reason you triple captain Lukaku in game week 33 is because I said I would do it if I hadn't wildcarded. He's leading the most competitive mini league on the planet, the Hail Cheater Super League. And
right.
And he got tough. A game week total of like 85 points or something like that.
He's a great player, but that's boosted by the triple captaincy. it would be more pedestrian 81. Gare, please get in touch. I hope you do listen to the podcast, and I hope you at least let us know whether Brandon in any way convinced you to triple captain. I really hope that he did, because that would be hilarious.
I'll send you a handful of always cheating buttons if in fact it was my fault. But maybe the joke will be on us, is that we'll all triple captain, say, Sergio Aguero in 34, and he'll get a red card.
Oh, is that where you're leaning? That's interesting. I didn't think that.
Sidebar to always cheating listeners. I can't believe Josh fell for that plant of the Sergio Aguero triple captain.
All right.
What were you saying, Josh?
Okay, so let's move on to the second. Do they have a point? I can't remember.
I guess we sort of moved on to our second point already, which is Manchester United, and they are
as per usual. We lost the plot.
We lost the plot. So I guess rounding out Leicester and Spurs, you have to be considering these guys if only for game week 35, because you're going to need them, the two strongest teams in the league, who also have a rare fixture in 35. I hoped you kept some of these guys.
Yeah, and my thinking is, you know, as I have Mahrez and I have Vardy, I may drop Mahrez for a double game week player, but it's hard to find a midfielder because I'm already tripled up on Liverpool and in Arsenal, it's hard to find a midfielder who fits the bill. You know, yeah. I mean, Gigi Wijnaldum, I'm not very excited about. And also, I don't really want to double up on a Newcastle midfielder because I've doubled up on the Liverpool defense for insane reasons that I can't even explain anymore.
Right.
So
can you cram, you know, cram, cram Payet into that spot?
Yeah, I think I actually could cram Payet into this, but I already have Lanzini. I don't know if I need to double up on the West Ham midfield.
Seems like
but they don't play in game week 35. So.
Right. No, that's true. God.
So yeah, so you have to find someone who is going to play the double game week and the game week 35. The player who might actually fit the bill is Samir Nasri, okay. which would be a tricky one because I'm not sure if he fits in that team if David Silva is healthy. He might be back on the bench again. If someone could tell me that Fabian Delph or Samir Nasri were going to play all three of the next Premier League fixtures,
yeah.
I think that if David Silva injures his ankle like tomorrow, I think I would drop Mahrez and bring in Nasri.
Okay.
But outside of that, I'm just not sure. Because the problem is the fixtures are excellent for Leicester. I mean, they're like captainable fixtures in game week 34 and 35. You know, West Ham at home, Swansea at home. I mean, great fixtures for, you know, Swansea's defense is playing a little bit better, but Swansea's basically secured their spot. You know,
they're good. They're going to be putting their feet up here pretty soon.
Yeah, they're on the beach, right? There's nothing for them to play for. I mean, whether they finish in 16th or 14th or whatever, who cares?
Swansea's finally catching up to Andre Ayew's state of mind, where he has had nothing to play for the entire season. Apparently,
he hasn't played in like 6 weeks, right? He's got some sort of injury.
He's just hanging around. Let's not forget about James Milner, who with two assists for Liverpool against Stoke this past week, he's at 6.5. So I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves with Liverpool talk. But if you're thinking of midfielders to slot in who play in game week 35 in that budget area, he's one to think about.
So I might be forced to go with a slightly embarrassing 9 double game week players instead of the 10 or 11 that I'd planned to play.
All going to laugh at you.
You know, I actually have enough money. The other move I could make is I could put Mahrez on the bench and I could bring in a double game week defender, which might be an interesting option.
Okay.
Because I could drop. Let's take a quick look here. I don't mean to, hopefully this is instructive and not just me like wanking about my own team.
We'll be the judge, Josh.
Yeah. Okay. So I have 0.6 in the bank right now, and I am not planning to start Danny Simpson or Delaney in game week 34. So let's say I drop Delaney.
Okay.
So I would need to find a 4.9 million defender who would be worth playing in the double game weeks. I don't think there's anyone on Man City who's that cheap. And then you run into the Man U problem. Is anyone actually going to start both those games for Man U?
And you're looking exclusively for people who play in game week 35?
Well, actually, no, I guess that wouldn't be as necessary in that case.
Because then you might want to look at Watford, who have fixtures against West Brom and West Ham.
Right. Yeah, that's an interesting option.
You know, everyone gets very titillated when I start talking about the Watford defense, I know. All the Ake fans out there.
Let's move past me. I would happily talk about me and just things about me forever.
We've done it before. All right, so our next topic is Man United, which we've covered to a certain degree already. You know, they did have a disaster against Spurs, but they still, as we've said, have these great double game week fixtures coming up, two of them, despite blanking in game week 35. The thing that plagues us is that defensive rotation, and I mentioned Fosu Mensah. He's at 3.9. I hazard a guess he could be nailed on for both those fixtures, barring injury in game week 34.
But like you said, it's a guess.
It's a guess. Not, yeah.
Yeah.
Guillermeld, if you're listening, it's a guess.
Really, you just want to make sure he starts in that Aston Villa game, because there's no way Aston Villa is scoring in that match.
No, it's very doubtful.
So even if he didn't start in the next match, it'd be okay. You know, it'd be fine.
Do you think they'd sack Louis van Gaal if Aston Villa wins that game? Do you think they sack him right there?
Well, now no, because they're going to the FA Cup semifinals, and that's probably enough to keep him with the club the rest of the season.
Okay, anything else we need to say about United that we need to know?
I feel like we've think we covered them pretty extensively already.
Yeah.
All right, Everton. I mean,
the fun thing about United is because of all these young, unproven players that are now starting, there are a lot of good cheap options. The Lingards and Martials on that team. And
yeah, Lingard was a player I had until I made that late Vardy move. And then moving down from Kane to Vardy opened up enough money to bring in to move Lingard into Lanzini. I just felt like Lanzini had a better chance of scoring.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so that brings us to Everton, which we've already talked about. You know, is there anyone you'd bring in on Everton at this point, based on what you just saw? I think Joel Robles is the one player that I would look at.
Yeah.
He looked fantastic. I don't know if you caught any of this match.
I watched most of the second half while I was at work working.
Okay.
he did look great. I mean, Crystal Palace didn't necessarily trouble him with any great shots, but he made the saves when they counted. He collected the crosses when he had to. He looked very confident.
Yeah, and home to Southampton, decent chance of a clean sheet there. Way to Liverpool, probably not, but should rack up a lot of saves. He picked up 6 saves for me today, which is – he looks good, you know, and I think he's an interesting player for next year too.
6 saves, 3 bonus.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, an 11-pointer from a keeper is a pretty rare thing.
Yeah.
Especially in a double game week.
Yeah.
So Robles is the only player I would be looking at bringing in. There's no one in the midfield. If I didn't have Lukaku already, I certainly wouldn't bring him in now. No one in the defense, I wouldn't think. I mean, they're too expensive for what you're getting.
They are, yeah. On the wings, you have Baines and Coleman, who their prices are inflated for the great things they've done in previous seasons, certainly not this season. Jagielka's out with an injury. He may come back midway through the double game week for the Liverpool match. So that makes Funes Mori a bit of a risk.
Yeah.
So that leaves you with John Stones, which how much is John Stones anyway?
Something like 5.5.
Not worth looking up, that's for sure.
You saw the casual flip of my hand that this is the first time, by the way, in case no one, because no one can see this.
I'm sure people are picking up on the energy.
Yeah, no. So the first time we've ever done a video podcast where we can actually see each other's recording. It's a very surreal. I don't know where I am. And you're actually in the bottom left hand corner of my screen.
You're kind of in the upper left. So I'm giving you a little side eye when I look at you. listeners, you aren't going to be able to see us talking actually when we post this podcast. This is just for our own benefit.
Right. It's really to keep someone as ADD as me from like just slipping away in the middle of conversation. All right. The next team to discuss. So the key questions are organized around teams that have double game weeks, teams we want to be thinking about. The next team in the list is Arsenal. The question now after Arsenal's kind of insane 3-3 draw with West Ham, really great way to start the weekend though. I mean, you get the goal so you lose the clean sheet, which is annoying, but you get the early goal from Sanchez, and you're like, all right, fine. Yeah. You know, like I got a goal from the match. It's not that bad.
Yep.
As someone who has Gabriel, I'm a little worried. Gabriel was a real trendy pick. You know, 4.3 million. Looks like he's probably going to start him as every match down the stretch. Just given how Mertesacker is.
Having
an awful season. It looks like he's Mertesacker was never. He always looked like he was about 60, and now he's finally playing like it.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, it's the rotation back there. So Gabriel kind of had an awful game marking Andy Carroll. Is he going to be punished for that? Is Mertesacker going to get a run out? And also, I was big upping Peter Cech because of the double leading into their fixture in game week 35. I wanted him to be my set-it-and-forget-it keeper for the rest of the season. And you were arguing, of course, that Ospina on form, does he keep his spot? I thought that was crazy, but...
He did start.
My assumption is it was a bit of a defensive disaster back there. And Cech, again, I mean, I really believe that he's the number one. And what they needed back there during that West Ham game was a real leader, a real presence. And that should have been Cech.
I'd say the odds are better that you get 2 starts out of Cech than I do getting 2 starts out of Gabriel. It's going to be the scores are going to be all over the place in this game week. I mean, it is crazy. You know, I was listening to there's a good post on the Transfer Hub website, triggerlips.com, where he was talking about how the problem with these chips is instead of adding more creativity to the game, they've actually taken away some of the creativity because it's sort of put us in this position where almost everyone is wild carding at the same time and then playing either the triple captain or the when I say everyone, I mean a certain group people are taking the game super seriously.
The 50 people who are still playing the FPL at this point in the season. Right.
Exactly. For us, 50.
The Siraj Garishas of the world.
And so when stuff like that happens, this groupthink takes over, and it's so hard to not fall prey to it. You know, it's like everyone and their mother is like, Gabriel is an amazing option at 4.3.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, you're right. It's great. Two home fixtures. It's fantastic. Glad
I got that one all figured out.
Yeah, it's all sorted. Now, what I kind of wish I would have done is just actually taken out Bellerin and brought in Gabriel 4.3 and then use that money. Now I'm kind of regretting not having Ozil in my midfield.
Yeah.
You know, going too heavies in the mid with Arsenal kind of feels like the way to go right now.
Or Iwobi.
There's a little recency there because they both scored on Saturday. But
yeah, and
still.
Recency with Iwobi as well. Speaking of cheap players, and there's definitely a rotation risk. A lot of people thinking that Walcott gets at least one game, gets at least one start over Iwobi, even though he looked amazing in that West Ham game.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. Yeah, exactly. But Walcott did. Now, he didn't score, but he actually looked pretty good in that match when he came on. So, right. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Sanchez, do you think he's a must-own?
I feel like we were in this position last season, right? And Sanchez came back from injury, and he had maybe two games in a row where he scored. And right. You bring him in, and then at that point, it became the Santi Cazorla show for the rest of the season. And Sanchez went deadly quiet. The way I'm feeling right now, and I think a lot of people would, it's hard to argue. Sanchez, he's got two goals in a row. He's coming into form. He's definite triple captain material.
And I think so too. I mean because we did our rankings last week. I mean you're definitely. I mean I guess we can get into it now just a little bit. So I'll lay it out for you. And there's no games here. Mm-hmm. I'm having a hard time deciding between Sanchez and Aguero for my triple captain options.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting considering how Chelsea looked against Swansea. Their defense, I mean, assuming Matt Miazga doesn't start, that defense could be a little more stout. But they didn't look very good against Swansea, and I could see Aguero having a bit of a field day.
I could. It's very tough. You know, it's
Aguero
really.
Aguero plays midweek though in the Champions League. Maybe there's a little bit of fatigue there. However, I'm going to psychoanalyze Aguero here. He plays midweek. There's a little bit of exhaustion. He's had his dainty little legs stepped all over. Mm-hmm. But he misses a penalty, and he's probably really smarting from that and looking for a little bit of psychological revenge, right?
I think that if Alexis Sanchez weren't, in my opinion, the overwhelming clear favorite for the captain choice this week, which means that the vast majority of intelligent, you know, like top 10,000 managers are going to be captaining him, I would be more inclined to bring him in. There's something about, you know, just given that I've had kind of a rough season, that I want to make up some points that, you know, if he goes wild for 40 points and Aguero hurts his knee and I get a one point or doubled, it's not as devastating to me as it would be if I were, you know, trying to crash into the top 2,500 or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So it's almost, Aguero almost feels like a bit of a calculated risk for me. Like, let's just go for it, you know? Because you know Aguero could always go off, you know? It's always against anybody. It doesn't matter who he's playing.
And then Firmino is third on your triple captain list?
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish he'd looked, he actually looked okay in that match. But I don't know.
We're recording this before the Europa League fixture, I guess we should say. Yeah. So a lot can change between now and the time they play at Borussia.
Yeah. Firmino feels a little. I mean, Aguero seems like enough of a differential for me that I could captain him instead. I don't really know that anyone else is on the table for me. I don't know. I don't know if there's anyone else. I mean, is Martial someone you'd actually think about triple captaining?
Sure. So last week we listed our favorites for Triple Captain, and neither of us mentioned Aguero, and we remarked upon that. And Martial was my second choice, second only to Alexis Sanchez. And if you look at my team picked for game week 34 right now, Alexis Sanchez has the captain armband and Aguero is vice captain. So yeah. I am struggling with the same question as you. And
you're triple captaining, not bench boosting as well, right? Could you bench boost if you wanted to?
I could. I mean, sure, I could bench boost, but my bench would. I only have one double game week player on my bench, and that's Wayne Hennessy. And so,
right,
I don't really
okay.
see that.
That was the question. Is yeah, yeah. Because if you were going to bench boost, you would have had to set it up during the wild card. I feel like you would have had to, because you want to have 15 players, you know, for that.
So. And I really can't beef that up with my substitution, with my transfer, because I have to deal with Darmian and Phil Jagielka, who both look like they're not going to be participating to the max in the double game week. Right. So I probably will have to deal with one or both of them with my transfers. And then on the bench, I've got Francis from – I've got a Bournemouth player and two Leicester players. So, yeah, to answer your question, it's looking like an all-out triple captain for game week 34.
Yep, I think that's definitely where I'm leaning to. I wish if I had any confidence that there was a Man U defender that I could bring in, I would feel a lot better about my team going into game week 34. I really, given this rare opportunity to have almost a full team of double game week players, it's kind of tempting to just squeeze one more in there, you know?
Yeah, I hear you.
But I'm not really sure it's worth it. I don't know. It's a tricky week.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the next team we're discussing. Manchester City. We actually kind of started to discuss that with Aguero. So the Champions League semis are between game week. So Man City is an interesting team too, because they have trickier fixtures, two away fixtures. Although the Newcastle fixture is only reasonably tricky, I suppose. Although Newcastle can occasionally be a tough place to play, we've seen it, you know, year in and year out.
And they're scrapping for their life.
Yeah, exactly. So the Champions League semifinals between game week 35-36 and 36-37. So I don't know that we'll see – if we were going to see players get rested, I don't think it would be for the double game week 35. It's possible that you could see Aguero come off the bench in game week – or I'm sorry, game week 34.
Right.
It's possible you could see someone like Aguero or KDB come off the bench in game week 35 as they're preparing to place, you know, Bayern or whatever in the first leg.
Yep.
So I think you could safely bring in whoever you think their strongest starting 11 is, and there's a pretty good chance they're going to start both the game weeks.
Yeah, I totally agree, because they're going to be trying to be picking up 6 points during this double game week to keep themselves in keep the distance between them and United, who also have the double.
The question is, if you were to bring in a player on Manchester City right now, assuming you already have Aguero, is there anyone you'd think about bringing in? I mean, like,
it has to be De Bruyne. It has to be KDB.
Okay. Well, but KDB is like a rearrange your team to bring in kind of guy.
Yes, you know, I'm suffering from that right now. Like, well, he totally corrupted my wild card, and so I really need him to do something in 34. I'm a little biased.
So let's say KDB is off the table for financial reasons.
Okay.
You want the 4-bedroom house, but you're going with the little 2-bedroom for now, starter home.
Okay.
Who's your starter home midfielder on this team? The options, I guess, would be David Silva, although he's almost as expensive as KDB. Yaya Toure, but he's not really starting right now. Jesus Navas is an interesting option.
Jesus Navas.
I know, much loathed, and rightly so. But he does have 8 assists on the season. He only costs 6.1. I think he'll probably start both of these matches.
I don't know who they start instead of him with. I mean, they're just key, Sterling, key Sterling injuries. Out. Yeah. I mean, maybe they play two up front and Boney gets to play. And how does that work out? Say Nasri and Silva both start. Then I could see Jesus Navas getting pushed out. But
yeah, I mean, I'm not, if I'm not, I brought in. Yeah. If I dropped Riyad Mahrez for Jesus Navas, that would be like kind of an insane thing to do.
Yes. But this Manchester City team is they're a strange team, and I don't see that they don't seem like a team that's worth taking a risk on. Mm-hmm. Just because they've been so wildly inconsistent, and you know these are two away fixtures in the double, and their away form has been absolute crap this entire season. So doesn't seem like the way to punt on a City.
I think you're probably right, but let's say you did want to punt. Let's just have some fun.
Still playing this game.
Because I think it's interesting. I mean, I think that there are some differential options in this Man City midfield. If you're trying to make up some money, and you're in a position like I'm in, which is that you've already tripled up on Arsenal, Liverpool, which are the two teams that you really want. And I don't think it's wise to bring in a Man U midfielder because it's a one game week punt, and then you have a hole in game week 35 that you got to fill. So
right.
you know. So it's an opportunity to have a differential on Man City who not a lot of people are going to own, you know? I mean, that's repetitive because that's what differential means. But so if you had to pick one, would you pick Silva? Would you pick scrap Silva. You pick Nasri, Fabian Delph, one of the Fernandos,
the brothers Hermano. They're like the assassins from the twin assassins from Breaking Bad. That's how I pictured them.
Yeah, that's funny. Jesus Navas or Yaya Toure. I'll throw him in there too.
Oh my! I mean, I guess if you look at the course of the season, Navas has been the most consistent player and who's appeared in the starting 11. Like he's most consistently started.
He has started, it looks like, the last six game weeks in a row.
So he's picked up
two assists on the season. He has picked up one bonus point on the season. It seems a little low considering how many completed passes he must have, out there on the wing.
We said this at the beginning of the podcast, that we were all feeling a little angry, a little upset, a little depressed. I don't think we're helping our listeners get out of that hole by talking about Jesus Navas.
Yeah, it's probably right.
Instead of the midfield, why not pick up a defender like Otamendi? He's a little expensive, but
He's not a little expensive though. He's a lot expensive. But I would rather bring in Chris Smalling than of course that's the problem we talked about before. But right. Man, you have been fixture in 35.
Yeah,
Otamendi is interesting, although. I believe the Vincent Kompany may be back this weekend. Actually, it's been pushed back to the 23rd of April, so maybe not. I thought earlier in the week it sounded like he might be back this weekend. Kompany's back at some point. I still feel a little anxious about that Man City defense, and they are two away fixtures. I mean, I could see them conceding in both those matches.
Yeah, the way Joe Hart was left watching when that Sessegnon goal went in. I mean, granted, Sessegnon hit that ball about as hard as one can hit a ball, but there's just the odd goal that's always going to get past that keeper, Joe Hart. That crazy keeper, Joe Hart.
All right, let's get to the final team on our list of teams to talk about for this game week. Liverpool. You've written here, Brandon, gold standard, but too many to choose from after the Stoke match?
There were players on Liverpool that I didn't even know existed who played in that game. This Stewart guy, I feel like he's played maybe one or two other Premier League matches. I don't know.
Played a professional match.
That's incredible. He was just a fan in the stands.
He was a fan who won a contest. It was incredible.
There are just so many guys who did something in that match, like Oyo.
Yep, Oyo.
Mm-hmm. Is that a real guy?
Yep.
Oyo. And then Origi, Sturridge, of course, fragile as he is, with so many matches coming up for Liverpool, they've got the Europa League, then they've got the it's just nonstop for them. Sturridge is not going to start every single one of those games.
Origi is in the same category. You don't really know if he's going to start every match either. You know, it's kind of a tricky.
The forward positions are so valuable, too. You just can't waste one on a guy like Origi.
Well, can't you? I mean, he scored 3 goals in his last 2 matches, scored a crucial away goal in Dortmund last week, and scored 2 in 45 minutes at home to Stoke. So I don't know that you can get away with not starting him. I mean, but again, it's you just don't know if he's going to start both the matches, you know. So is he going to start – if he started, you know, way to Bournemouth and only got like a 1-pointer at home to Everton a couple days later, then you're kind of – he's maybe not super valuable, even though he could score in that away fixture. So,
this is my biggest concern about my wild card. Is I got afraid of all the options and all the fixtures coming up for Liverpool, and I did not bring in a single Liverpool player in my wild card.
Interesting.
And that is definitely what's hurting my prospects for game week 35. So for me, because I have some defensive issues that need sorting out,
I hope you're bringing in Nate Klein, your old friend Nate Klein.
Oh,
who never got you a clean sheet, an assist, or a goal the entire like 27 weeks that you had him.
Total jackass, Nathaniel Klein. I mean, the guy was amazing on Southampton last season, and he's just like the shackles were on him under Brendan Rodgers. He just couldn't do anything, but he's the nailed-on start. I mean, I guess Moreno had a great game against Stoke. I was talking to our friend Steven, who runs the Roto Premier League site, and he's a big Liverpool fan. And I said to him, like, oh, great game for Moreno. Like, where did that come from? He's kind of in a rut. And he said, yeah, great player. Dumb as a stump, though.
So let me ask you this, Brandon. Nate Klein has scored 1 goal in the season, no assists. He's picked up 9 clean sheets in 33 game weeks. How many bonus points do you think he's picked up over the whole season?
0.
Well, 2. Okay. Two is insane.
With
9 clean sheets and a goal, you should have more than 2 because, I mean, given the way they do bonus points this season, like we saw this in the Leicester game against Sunderland. It was like, I don't know how the points worked out that way, but somehow
every defender got a hatful of bonus points.
Yeah, it's like Fuchs, you have 2, and
you get a bonus point.
Yeah, who you take a couple bonus points too? I don't know how 3 defenders got 2 bonus points, but it's crazy to me that Klein, and one of them was in the first game of the season.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Klein, his only appeal is that he's nailed on, and I couldn't believe Kolo Touré gets the start, and Touré and Skrtel, when you're thinking that's going to be Sacco and Lovren, that is like an FU to so many wild cards out there.
Yeah, and you know, Klein is still owned by just under 20% of managers.
Yeah, for me, it definitely won't be Klein, because I think I also need to free up a little cash looking at game week 35. So I need to bring
in
a game week.
Stewart, Jose Enrique might be interesting for you.
Oh, Enrique, totally. Absolutely.
What about your boy, Stephen Caulker? You thinking about bringing him in maybe?
Well, I mean, he does play out of position. He's OP. I love a good OP fantasy player. So
yeah, you know, he's out of position because he's the bench is a position.
But I don't know. It's rough to select there. I mean, a guy like Milner, sadly, is one of your better options because of his price tag and his likelihood of playing every game.
Well, this is so Tom Butcher says, who would you sign, Moreno, Coutinho, Firmino, or an extra Arsenal player to go with Bellerin and Sanchez?
Yeah, it's a really good question. If you're looking at the Liverpool midfielder, it's a choice between Coutinho and Firmino, and I try not to have my thinking clouded by me thinking about our head-to-head every mm-hmm. moment. But mm-hmm. You're like, I'm listening.
Yeah, I think about that too.
It's Firmino. Like I think for me, it's Firmino. It's a little scary that Coutinho didn't get a start on the weekend, and certainly resting him from the Europa League, I expect. But Firmino is the one I would get.
Okay.
Don't you agree?
Yeah. Well, I guess so. It's tricky. I think I would actually rather have Ozil than Firmino at the moment. If I had Ozil, I might even think about triple captaining him, actually. I thought he looked a lot better in this match, and I mean, there's a pretty good chance you can get like 25 points from Ozil, you know, and that's before the, you know, you get 75 points from Ozil.
So, I mean, that's a good point. If you're not already tripled up on Arsenal, you don't have to look at Liverpool players because Arsenal, like Liverpool, have the double and game week 35.
Yeah, he's a bit more. He's not that much more. I think of like 1.6 million or so. Coutinho, I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about Coutinho because I think he was just being rested. But I just don't like to have Coutinho on my team because I think he's too streaky and, you know, just too inclined to just do nothing at all. Firmino is kind of the same way, but I just think he's explosive enough that he's worth taking it. I mean, to go back to your original question, if I didn't have any Liverpool players and I had to bring in one and my keeper situation was already solved, then I would bring in Firmino. I do think that Mignolet is an underrated keeper option for the double game week.
How much does Mignolet cost?
He's pretty cheap.
Asking for a friend.
He's 4.9. Okay. So,
yeah, that is. He must have dipped. He must have been priced at 5.0 at the start of the season.
Yeah, he must have been. But because Schmeichel's price had risen, I was actually able to. It was almost a like for like move. I think it cost me 0.1 to move from Schmeichel to Mignolet. And then I brought in Danny Simpson at 4.2. So I still have my Leicester coverage.
Right. There was that point at which he was dropped for Adam Bogdan. That might have hurt his ownership a little bit. Poor Simone.
Yeah, he's looked a little better of late. Okay, so those are the ones we wanted to focus on. Other double game week teams to consider. I don't want to go through all of these in any kind of depth, but, you know, West Ham, Payet, very disappointing. It's actually a player that a lot of people had held on to through the wild card, and then he came through. It's kind of extraordinary that Payet picked up the West Ham scored three goals, and Payet was not involved in any of those three. I mean, he's such a nice player.
Yeah, it is incredible. Very incredible. Andy Carroll, Carroll, is he worth? I mean, that's got to be Andy Carroll's game for the season.
I know.
Just let him have that game. Don't let him insert himself into your logic for the FPL. Even though they've got the doubles coming up, and Sacco is injured. He's out indefinitely or for some period.
I think he's feuding with his coach. I think there's some sort of issue with Bilic and Sacco.
Interesting. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. Carroll gets a lot of starts through the rest of the season.
I love Lanzini at 4.9. Had a goal, a marginally offsides goal disallowed today. Just playing really well. Looked super dangerous.
He had a goal, offside almost, goal almost disallowed goal. Against Arsenal as well.
That's right. He did. And he almost scored another, like a really a very, very cheeky goal in the first 15 minutes of the match.
Yep.
So, in the end, I decided to get rid of Payet and go with Lanzini. I don't you feel like eventually they're going to have to start playing Payet a little bit differently? Just not even touch him when he's like 8 feet behind the penalty box, you know, behind the 18 box because. He is just like, I mean, the slightest touch and he crumbles, you know.
Well,
like
you can't touch anybody on that team around the periphery of the 18-yard box because they'll just basically put him on the free throw line if they get
amazing. It's like he's such a sniper, you know. It's like that. Yeah, it's crazy. So I'm a little nervous about not having him for the double game week, but there's no. I don't think I'd bring him in though.
As major a player as Payet is, Lanzini seems adequate cover just the way he's looked the last couple of game weeks. I totally agree, and it's such a huge help to your budget.
Yeah, exactly. Watford, I don't see it. I would love to bring in Deeney or Ighalo because I think Deeney in particular.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at him. You know, I got were the assists. You know, I didn't get the like nine goals that
he
came
was
later.
Sort of he was his drought at the start of the season was in some ways the spark that lit the fire that was the disaster that has been your fantasy season.
That was poetic. By the way, Callum Wilson, you see that he's back?
He's back.
He's back and healthy. Yeah, he's back and healthy and playing for Bournemouth.
I was reminded of this because when I logged into the FPL site tonight, I love seeing who they put on like the Photoshop display of the four players in action on the FPL login screen. Mm-hmm. So when I logged in tonight, you had Callum Wilson, you had Andre Ayew, you had Eden Hazard. And I don't remember who the fourth player was, but I don't know who puts those Photoshops together, but they...
Does Hazard still play for Chelsea?
I don't know. I think he plays for the Vancouver Whitecaps now.
All right. So, yeah, we're not feeling Watford, right? I think we're in agreement on that.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, it's worked out great, you know, two clean sheets in a row.
Yeah, I think we had our fun this week with Crystal Palace. It's probably over for them.
We had plenty of fun, though. It was good fun.
Good, clean fun.
They're
on 38 points now. They're good. They can just chill out.
Yeah, it brings us to the final two teams I want to talk about, and again, just briefly, West Brom and Newcastle. The two teams that I think are worth taking at least a slightly longer look at because they both have fixtures in game week 35, which the other three teams don't. So West Brom... who would you bring in is the problem. Who, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, Rondon.
Is Rondon injured now? He limped off injured in their last game. So it may be that he's not good. Sato Berahino
shown anything. You know, I mean, Fletcher, Gardner, McLean. I mean,
they have an army of would-be rugby players in their midfield. It's hard to tell them all apart. The McLeans. Yeah.
McLean's playing the wrong
Gardners
sport
of the world.
McLean should be an Aussie rules football player. He should not be the English Premier League player.
I don't know. Sessegnon, that goal was like 100% fire emoji against Joe Hart. But that, again, like Andy Carroll, that'll be his moment for the season.
Gareth McCauley, you know, like one of the defenders. I don't know.
Do you like yellow cards? Because then I can offer you Claudio Jakob at 4.4 million.
I guess Ben Foster is an option. The problem is their game week 35 is away to Tottenham. So you're not, you know, if you're bringing in a West Brom player because you get the fixture in game week 35, good chance you're getting somewhere between 1 points, 2 points, and 0 points in that game.
Okay, somebody offers you an ultimatum. It's West Brom or your life. You're bringing in a West Brom defender who can score in a corner kick like Gareth McCauley or Dawson. I think it's McCauley or Dawson. Those are your only options.
What about Jimmy Chester? Can I bring in Jimmy Chester?
If you like that. Yeah. It's your choice.
Bring in Jimmy Chester, who had quite a few nice, I don't know, quite a few, he had like two nice goals for Hull City last year.
Are you telling me right now you're going to bring him in? Is that a guarantee?
If it was a West Brom or my life, then yes. Otherwise, no. Okay. I'm not bringing any in.
Got it.
What about Newcastle? They're a slightly more interesting team to think about.
Well, yeah, so I guess it's Andros Townsend. He scores a goal, so that's interesting.
Gigi Wijnaldum?
I guess. What has he done lately?
He's done a lot. He's done a lot of good, like in the community. He's done good work, you know, just the good charitable deeds.
It's just asking too much. That team is so crummy. They're just such crap. I don't see it. I don't see any bet worth making there.
I don't either, especially when one of the double game weeks is that Swansea defense looks great, and they have for maybe what five or six weeks in a row now.
Ashley Williams is a total awesome. Boss.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that could be like a 1-0 game, one way or the other. You know, I mean, it's possible they keep a clean sheet or something, but I don't think anyone's going to explode on this team. Like, yeah. I'd rather have Riyad Mahrez for 1 week than any of these midfielders for
or
two.
Or even Lanzini, who's playing on a really great team at a much more, so he's 4.9 compared to Jonjo Shelvey. He's 5.3, and there's no way Shelvey couldn't outscore Andre Ayew this season. There's no way he's outscoring our main man Lanzini.
Yeah, I agree. We're in agreement, my friend.
there it is.
All right, so I think that's it. I think we've covered some ground here.
Okay, so I'm feeling good. I want to feel positive. I think it's time that I take control. Okay, so we spent a lot of time on our wild card sort of playing defense and trying to figure out what the template is, getting into the minds of other managers. I think our mission going into the double in 34 is to be our own managers. and to have fun, okay. Be cavalier, be brave, okay. Be bold.
Are you saying this to me, or is this like just – you're saying this – like, are you trying to pump yourself up right now?
Yeah, I'm basically giving a speech like I'm Bill Pullman in Independence Day.
Yeah. Oh, ID – are you ready for ID 2?
ID 4
2? Coming out this summer. Yeah, there's a sequel coming out this summer.
Oh, I'm more than ready. Absolutely.
All right, B. It's been good talking to you.
Yeah. All right. Don't forget to subscribe to Always Cheating. If you're a new listener, make sure you don't miss an episode. You can subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher Radio. Basically, any way you get your podcast. And feel free to write us a review, a favorable review. That would be awesome. We'd really appreciate it. And, of course, as we've said multiple times in the podcast, we're on Twitter at Hail Cheaters and Always Cheating on Facebook.
And feel free to email us to hailcheaters@gmail.com.
Josh, we had a really great time at Yankee Stadium the other day. We saw our good friend and loyal listener, Kwadwo Poku, came on for NYCFC as a substitute.
I was so excited I took a picture of the screen.
Well, Poku forever, Josh.
Yeah, Poku forever. Right, cheers.
Hail Cheaters.